This was Julius Johansen from Denmark just a few years ago. This is Johansen today, with a chin to rival that of the 16th century Spanish Emperor Charles I, or Sergeant Nate Higgerson. The Saunier Duval Emirates team is full of exaggerated cases like Johansen's, from the huge horsey teeth of Germany's Niels Pollitt to the face of the son of the doping coach's client, Calippo Soler. Exaggerated, just like the string of victories by Tadej Pogacar and the rest of the monsters on Dracula Gianetti's team. Many people are wondering just how long will this unchecked dominance last? I'm Uncle Cycling, and every few days I upload a new cycling documentary to this channel. Today, we're going to talk about the strange behaviour of the Saunier Duval Emirates team. The same kind of behaviour that makes fans think that winning 100 races in a season is the most normal thing in the world. Be sure to follow me on my X account, at Uncle Cycling, for even more content. And now, without further ado, let the show begin. Chapter 1. Dad Works with Doping Agents. A week ago, Escape Collective published this. Marc Soler's father worked with Pepe Marti, the university professor sanctioned in the Lance Armstrong case. And as I mentioned in this video, which you should really watch if you haven't seen it already, the cyclist, Marc Soler, was only a few metres away while it was all happening. Who knows if he was just enjoying a Calippo? And do you know what Marc Soler did just 5 days after the story broke? Yes, he won. He won as if nothing had happened, as if everyone hadn't just discovered that his dad was working with Lance Armstrong's dealer. Look at his face. Do you see any concern? Do you see any sign of embarrassment? Nothing. And best of all, no journalist thought to ask him about it. Not one. All there with the microphones and the cameras. Total silence. But why, you may ask? Maybe they were busy eating the canapes that the sheikhs had given them in order to somehow whitewash the regime of a close friend of Jeffrey Epstein. Well, thanks largely to the work of Julius Johansen's chin, he dragged his Andorran teammate for dozens of kilometres, you know, taking advantage of the strong winds in Murcia. Marc Soler was able to enjoy another Calippo ice cream in true Rico style, crushing Britain's Tiny Tim Tom Pidcock in the Vuelta a Murcia, a man who had been training at altitude in Chile for weeks, more than 5,000 kilometres away from the nearest WADA agent. Sadly, we have not been able to find out whether Soler was pedalling harder because of the anger that seemed to enlarge the chin of former doped team cyclist Julius Johansen, or whether he simply wanted to prove that his current coach is much, much better than a Lance Armstrong dealer. At least he made one very important thing clear to us. Calippo Soler, Moonlight Machin, and Dracula Gianetti couldn't care less what their critics think. Chapter 2. 10 victories in 6 weeks. Let's do some simple mathematics. The Saunier Duval Emirates team plan is to achieve 100 victories in a single season. And in the space of just a month and a half, they already have 10 wins with 5 different cyclists. How can they do it? Unquestionable dominance always raises questions among the public. And some cycling fans are already fed up. Not because Poggi can win so many races on the calendar, but because lower-level riders such as Juan Sebastian Milano, who was suspended by Saunier Duval itself for strange results in an internal doping control, well, they are already destroying their rivals from the very first races of the season. In Australia's Tour Down Under, Jay Vine and Jonathan Narvez, to whom we wish speedy recoveries after their crashes, well, they crush the rest of their rivals, making them look like mere broken toys. With these performances, Saunier Duval Emirates clearly occupy first place in the UCI team rankings, doubling the score of Ralph Denk's second place and also millionaire-backed Red Bull Bora team. And all this without Romina Hinojosa's boyfriend, or the world champion Urska Zygaard's partner having made their debut, at least not at the time of writing this video. These are absolutely indisputable facts that will blow the mind of anyone who enjoys professional cycling. Now, obviously, they have the biggest budget in the world tour, but how can a team that has Floyd Landis and Marco Pantani's masseurs on its staff be ruling all the other teams with an iron fist? Back in 2024, the doped Basque cyclist Iban Mayo said in an interview with Jot Down magazine that if people from his dirty past, such as Dracula Gianetti and Moonlight Machin, were still involved in cycling, how could we think that the sport was going to change overnight? Now, Dutch journalist Thijs Zonneveld asked himself this very question just a few days ago, and we're talking about someone who knows an awful lot about doping. And yet he still remains friends with the doper Thomas Dekker. Cyclists such as Alex Baudin of Education First have also publicly stated that they are fed up with the dominance of Sonier Duval Emirates, and this coming from someone who took Tramadol like it was candy. But there are also other details that might make us think something is going on with Dracula Gianetti's men. Chapter 3. Money. Everyone knows that the greater your financial capacity, the better your resources. We saw this in the 1990s with Miguel Indurain's Banesto, and then in the 2000s with Lance Armstrong's US Postal, and then again in the 2010s with the Sky Team of the White Kenyan, Chris Froome, and we are experiencing it again today with a team that has had doping scandals in the distant past, such as with Leonardo Piepoli and Juanjo Cobo, or the not-so-distant past, such as with the Croatian, Christian Dursek. Yes, we've seen the father of one of the most important cyclists team up with a doping coach, and yes, we know that the son of Dr. Mito, Michele Ferrari, was residing in the United Arab Emirates back in 2020. But does this mean that all its cyclists are doped? We can't say for sure, of course not. What's more, while those who are provisionally sanctioned, such as the allegedly doped Oya Lascano, while they don't want to talk about what goes on in these types of teams, we have to agree 100% that monsters like Tadej Pogacar manage to beat dirty dopers, even ones with extremely high natural hematocrit levels, such as the Colombian Miguel Angel Lopez, who is completely clean. And if there is any cheating, such as the use of carbon monoxide devices that are now banned by the UCI as a doping method, these are tricks that were not punishable at the time, just like Pedro Delgado's legendary probenecid case in 1988. And therefore, these were methods which were available for use when Poggi was able to win his Tour de France titles. In fact, the Slovenian cyclist himself is the first to want to nip any loose ends in the bud. Chapter 4, Loose Ends, yes. Dr. Inigo San Millan, who was already at Sonier Duval in 2000 when the team was doping with EPO, a man who was key to Poggi's first two Tour de France victories, well, he was quickly relieved of his role and then he became simply the head coach of Juan Ayuso, who is no longer with the team. Oh, and the performance director of AC Bilbao's soccer team. Another key contact, Poggi's unscrupulous bodyguard and trusted masseur, Joseba Elgezabel, is also part of AC Bilbao, a team of which Moonlight Machin is a well-known supporter. But what's the result of so much experimentation and cross-breeding of athletic performance? There has been a positive doping test for AC Bilbao's soccer player, Yaray Alvarez, allegedly for the use of a hair growth product containing substances banned by WADA. Do you see a connection? San Millan, Elgezabel, and Machin are all linked to the same soccer club with a recent doping scandal. Of course, there were no statements from Sonier Duval Emirates. Yaray was simply a black sheep who made a mistake, like Ricardo Rico in his day. And there's nothing more to talk about. But I wonder, how many black sheep does it take to make a flock? Now, as if that weren't enough, something seems to be going on with Russian doctor Irina Zelenkova, an expert hired by Sonier Duval's South African director, Jeroen Swartz, who was the doctor authorized to improve the altitude performance of Poggi and his boys, with some victorious results that you all know about, ones that continue to surprise the world to this day. Rumours in the peloton during 2024 indicated that she had been part of Cairn Farmer's flying success during the Vuelta a España, And in 2025, she was at the centre of alleged investigations, which all makes us wonder, could Zelenkova be the real key to the marginal gains of these invincible cyclists? Let's ask Pogacar. Chapter 5. Pogacar the Untouchable. Many people have commented on the bizarre new look of the world champion and number one in the UCI rankings. His platinum blonde dyed hair, which only lacked matching gel nails for the complete image, well, it's reminded cycling fans of the legendary hair of Festina's doped riders, Pascal Hervé and Richard Wironke, who used this tactic of bleaching their hair so that anti-doping tests could not find traces of doping substances in their follicles. But I'm sorry to tell you something. Pogacar doesn't dye his hair because he's doped. Pogacar dyes his hair because he has similar tastes to Derek Zoolander when it comes to showing off his appearance. Look at Johansson's jawline. Look at Kalippo Soler's victories after catching up with his father. Or look at the impassive face of Antonio Mojado after achieving his umpteenth victory in the Iberian Peninsula with Sonia Duval Emirates. Do you really think that Pogacar is going to dye his hair to avoid testing positive in a doping scandal when he knows full well that there are cases like that of his teammate Adam Yates' brother, Simon Yates, who was caught doping with terbutaline? Just as I told you in this video, and in which there is a clear, friendly agreement between David Lopatian and the British cyclist. No, Pogacar is so far above good and evil that, according to specialised media, he didn't hesitate to give away his own world champion's bicycle to a very dangerous man, Marc Soler's friend, MotoGP rider and Andorran, who competed with Lidl Trek's affiliate team, Alex Espargaró. And he did so just days after this friendly rider, nicknamed Motor Mimado by his many fans, had a beef with the cycling guy in X because he knew something was going on with Marc Soler's dad. With that untouchable self-sufficiency, Pogacar has had no qualms about commenting critically on his own Strava about a beef he had with a simple fan during a training day. Can you imagine Michael Jordan or Leo Messi or any other goats in their sport posting on their social media that they're fighting with a random person? Of course not. But Poggy, unlike those others, is very nervous about what has been published lately about him and his team. Rumours of an imminent retirement won't go away. Rumours that he doesn't have a good relationship with some of his teammates, or that Florian Vermeersch is the leader of Sonia Duval Emirates for Paris-Roubaix. And then if we add to that the Papa Soler scandal and the other scandals that Uncle Cycling knows firsthand but has not yet wanted to leak, and the fact that Poggy is now in his 8th season in elite cycling without having changed teams, well, it's normal for him to be a little on edge, a little nervous. And that's why Poggy decided to reveal his training data after so many years, with an incredible FTP of 420 watts, something that Antoine Vailleur himself would describe as mutant. At the same time, Moonlight Machin, as if he were Mo himself on Twitter, was quick to praise his star cyclist, reminding all his rivals that Poggy can still improve thanks to his training sessions with Javier Solá. Well, I have to tell you that months ago I received information from a very reliable source that would make the data displayed by Poggy seem like mere trifles. That is, during the 2025 season, those 420 watts average power would be far, far from the watts that this extraterrestrial, from the country where Mito Ferrari's contacts have supposedly been most active in recent years, actually produced. Since Javier Solá himself follows me on X, as you all should, by the way, at Uncle Cycling, remember, and I have something of a love-hate relationship with him, I implore him to tell me if this information is real and if we can expect to see Pogacar in the stratosphere, flying like a rocket from Argentina to Korea and Japan, as President Menem promised at one time. What will happen to Poggy in the 2026 season? The cards are already on the table, played by the Slovenian himself, who has a straight flush, it appears, and so it seems quite easy to predict the outcome in advance. Chapter 6. When will Sonia Duval Emirates' dominance end? with the best cyclist on the planet on a virtually lifetime contract and young riders dominating the minor races, it seems impossible today that Dracula Gianetti's men could lose their throne as the best team on the planet. But one day it will happen. Many of you are young and won't remember, but in 2018 it also seemed that Sky's British era of dominance would last for decades, with the White Kenyan and Thomas winning tours and young riders such as Egonito Bernal and Pavel Sivakov as future stars who were going to take over the world. But then Sonia Duval appeared, having spent years in the shadows signing riders of the caliber of Diego Ulissi and Chris Horner. And then suddenly they found the holy grail of cycling, Pogacar. It seems quite clear that the UCI will continue to protect the sons of the sheikhs, at least until the 2028 World Championships, for which they're already building an artificial mountain, so that Urška Žigat's Slovenian boyfriend can also be crowned champion in the middle of the desert. But more and more people are fed up with this dominance. More teams with budgetary weaknesses also need their piece of the pie in the Tour de France. Today, many vultures are rubbing their wings together, wanting to destroy Dracula Gianetti and his entourage, hoping to take his place on the ever-dangerous cycling throne. And so negotiations for a change in the economic system are underway and beginning to take shape. We will see if the transition between Sonia Duval Emirates and the next number ones in cycling is softened by strange crashes and rare retirements in the style of Team Sky, or if, on the contrary, we have a scandal like that of Festina that ends up destroying the sport, or if multimillionaires with even more money come along to change the rules of the game. When and how do you think the fall of Sonia Duval Emirates will happen? Leave your comments below. Your Uncle Cycling, El Tio Ciclismo, is betting on the first option. For now, we've already seen the first step with the retirement of Adam Yates's brother. We'll see what happens in the future. Now, if you want to know what's going to happen, you know what to do. Subscribe to the channel. Do it now. And remember, the truth always comes out, sooner or later. We'll see you in the next show.